Well, welcome to WLXL, LPFM, Lexington. This is Kaki Urch, and I am here at 11 o'clock here on Tuesday with our offering called Interview Radio. It's a show that is hosted by myself and my colleague, Ben Wolf. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm well. How are you doing, Kaki?
Well, great. And I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad for our show today. We've got three sections of the show set up to do some really good informational work on public health, public safety, and public insurance. So we want to welcome our first guests, and they are from our very good friend, the Lexington Fayette Urban County Health Department, just down the road on at their offices on Loudoun. Well, it's not Loudoun, it's on Newtown Pike.
Yes.
At the corner of Loudoun, yes. And so we want to welcome Bailey Preston, who is a communications specialist, generalist at the health department. Hi, Bailey. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming by. And we also have, we're honored to have a registered nurse, an RN, supervising nurse with the health department, Lois Davis. Hi, Lois. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, we are just thrilled to be here. And you've got a pretty exciting, announcement for the community about something that's coming up regarding the topic that's on a lot of people's minds these days, the flu. So, Bailey, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a free flu shot event that's happening Thursday, October 22nd at Consolidated Baptist Church from 4 to 7 p.m. And that will be, the church is at 1625 Russell Cave Road. So that's a new location from last year. So we want everybody to know that it's at Consolidated Baptist Church.
Okay, and that is right next to the Northside Library, is that right? So
you
take Russell Cave, if you're heading from Loudoun, you take Russell Cave, you go past the Walmart, you go past the Taco Bell, you cross New Circle Road, and go about a little, maybe a mile further, and there's, you'll see the Northside Library, and just beyond that is the church?
Yeah, it's on the left there.
Okay, great. And I'm told that that is on the bus line, that it's on the North Limestone Route, which is the bus number 6. So when will this be held in terms of time?
It'll be 4 to 7 p.m.
Okay, so it's in the evening.
Yes.
Well, that's great. That's convenient for people's work.
Yeah.
So, Lois, could you tell us a little bit about this particular immunization, what it protects against, what it doesn't protect against, and who is medically recommended to maybe have this?
Okay. We encourage flu shots for anyone who is 6 months of age through 100 plus. Okay. Everyone should have one each year. And especially those who have chronic illnesses, diabetes, asthma, cancer, anybody who's immunocompromised. So those people definitely should get one because that will protect them from getting the flu, influenza. And each year we have over 30,000 people in the nation who die from complications from the flu. Many times the flu can end up turning into a pneumonia, and especially for the elderly, this is a protection. A flu shot is a protection. The flu vaccine we have this year is a quadrivalent vaccine. It protects against 4 different flu virus strains. So it should be a good virus, a good vaccine,
right.
Protect you from those viruses.
Sure. Now, have we, is it in time to get one for the, quote, season? If folks go down October 22, they'll be well in time for what you guys perceive to be our season here in Lexington?
It certainly is. This is the peak time. Mid-October is a great time to get the flu shot. It takes about 2 weeks to build up your immunity.
Oh,
and of course we're going into the holidays where you're around more people, and also people are indoors and there are more colds and other viruses going around.
And airplanes too.
Yes.
Everybody flies to
travel.
The Thanksgiving, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just wonderful. And do people have to present any sort of ID or that they live in Lexington? How do they just come down and get in line and for the shot?
Yeah, just come down and get in line. But we do have a form to fill out, and
okay.
We have that available online on our website, www.lexingtonhealthdepartment.org. And you can print that out and fill it out before you get there, so your wait time will be a lot shorter.
But you will have them on site if people don't have a computer
definitely.
Or a printer.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have them physically. People can fill them out on site. You don't necessarily have to be a Lexington resident or a citizen, or just you just need to be a person.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's great. Now, I've got my friend Ben here with me. He's younger than me and he's healthier than me. So we were actually going to offer to inoculate him on the air, but it was a great visual, but not enough sound.
Right.
So
I'd have made sounds. Well, I have kind of a really sort of broad, overreaching question, because not a lot of people know this. What exactly is a vaccine? When you get right down to it, isn't it made up of like a little bit of the disease you're getting inoculated
Yes,
for?
Most of the time, a vaccine has a killed or an attenuated version of the virus in it, and so it's injected into your body, and your body responds by building up antibodies, and so you'll create an immunity against the disease.
Very good, and let's see.
Well, so is there anyone who is, as the medical people say, contraindicated to not? Is there anyone who should not get a flu vaccination?
I would say if your doctor tells you not to.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think pregnant women shouldn't, but actually they should.
Okay.
And most OB physicians will recommend that pregnant women get one, as well as the health department. We recommend, CDC recommends that pregnant women do get shots.
Okay, and you said the lowest age range is what?
Six months.
Okay,
age.
So if your baby's 0 to 6 months, the baby's too young.
Right.
And keep it away from germs if you can,
mm-hmm.
right? But then 6 months onward, unless a doctor has informed you, our RN tells us that it's a good time to get the flu shot. It is going to be presented to the community by Lexington, the Fayette Urban County Government Health Department. They have, Bailey, you have 1,700 doses, is that right?
Yes, so we're prepared to give out 1,700 flu shots on October 22nd.
Well, that's wonderful. How did you like get that number? Is it rationed?
Actually, each year we set a target goal. We have had some of these free events where we've run all day long, maybe 5 or 6 hours, and,
mm-hmm.
and we've done over 2,000 shots. Last year we had a 3-hour evening event, and we did 1,500. So we'd like to do 1,500 as our goal, but we have a few extra doses in case we surpass that.
So right, and so October 22 is which day of the week? Is that the Thursday?
It's Thursday, a week from today.
Yeah. Oh, great. So you have a week's notice from 4 to 7 at which Baptist church is it?
Consolidated Baptist,
which is right next to the Northside Library on Russell Cave Road, and it's on the bus line. It's on the North Limestone bus line. So what, Lois, in history, what have we had with influenza, and what's the history of how serious? People say, oh, I have a little touch of the flu. Mm-hmm. You know, what, as a medical professional, what do we really need to know about the seriousness of the flu?
The flu can be very serious, and as I said, it causes deaths in thousands of people each year from the complications of the flu, and especially those with chronic illnesses or who are immunocompromised. I think people should know about the symptoms.
Oh, okay, sure. That would be great.
It would be a high fever. Most of the time, upper respiratory, your chest and nasal passages are affected. You're coughing, but most of all, you ache all over. Your joints and your muscles are so sore. Most of the time when you get the flu, you are home. You really can't go to work for about a week to 10 days. And
does that mean you're home because you're aching, or you're home because you're infectious? What is
well,
the infectious
period?
You
feel so bad that you don't want to get out. You just want to stay in bed. And this can affect, of course, your absenteeism at work. It can be your children who are missing school. So if you get that shot, you have a better chance of being protected from getting the flu.
Gotcha. And if you do have the flu, what's a good remedy? Some people just, you know, the second they get like a little fever, they run to the hospital. But I think maybe...
Well, you have to be diagnosed, of course. And if you have those symptoms that I mentioned, fever, aches and pains, upper respiratory, get to the doctor as quick as you can. You know, if your fever is above 101, 102, get there.
Yeah.
There are some antiviral medicines such as Tamiflu. You've probably heard of Tamiflu.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's one of them that you may be able to... your doctor may prescribe, and it might alleviate the symptoms a little bit, but once you've got the flu, you'll have to let it run its course.
Okay, because I'm one of those people, I don't go to the doctor unless I absolutely have to. I think the last time I got the flu was about 10 years ago, and I think I got to a point where I just thought, okay, if I feel this bad tomorrow morning, then I'm going to have to, you know, go to the hospital.
Right.
That would be wrong in my case.
That's correct. And okay. the other thing, if you're feeling bad, you are very contagious, and it just takes a sneeze or maybe using the phone and somebody else comes along and picks up that phone and they can get the virus, rub their eyes, rub their nose, their cough. And you know, they can pick up the virus. Some other preventive measures in addition to the flu shot is washing your hands, covering your cough, staying home if you're sick, keeping your child home from school if they're sick. Those are things you don't want to infect other people. And if you're feeling bad, or if you know someone who's feeling bad, don't go to visit them. Even family gatherings, especially during the holidays, you're going to have people who are not feeling well. Stay away from them. Wash your hands if you give them a hug. And then keep your distance.
You're listening to WLXL LPFM Lexington. This is Interview Radio. My name is Kaki Urch. I'm one of your hosts. Ben Wolf is here with me. He's another one of our hosts. And we're talking with Lois Davis, a supervising nurse for the Lexington-Fayetteburn County Health Department. She and Bailey Preston are here to talk about an October 22nd, next Thursday, flu shot clinic that is free, and it's going to be at the Consolidated Baptist Church out on Russell Cave Road, which is across New Circle Road from Loudoun Avenue. Now, if somebody is, for example, is a person that uses the health department clinic as a primary care place or place that they visit, and they have symptoms, where should they go?
If they have symptoms of the flu?
Yeah, right.
Okay, we are not a primary care clinic. They should go to their primary care provider.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people used to come to the health department for primary care, and that was our Health First Bluegrass. And Health First Bluegrass has moved out to some other locations now. And so many people still have them as a provider, but a lot of people now have Connect, and people who used to come to the health department now have providers in various places around town.
So you would go to your primary care provider, whether that's Health First at one of the new locations, which is Southland Drive, is that right?
It's Southland Drive's not open yet.
Okay.
There's one at Regency, there's one on Alexandria Drive, there's one on Bryan Station, I believe.
Okay. Or your primary care physician at the practice where they are. What about the things that people talk about with, I'm going to catch a little bit of the flu because it's a killed virus? Do I feel bad because of the inoculation? Is that true? Or
okay, so you mean once they get a shot,
they're afraid that they'll get a little bit of the sickness because they're being injected with killed virus, or they feel like they maybe feel fluish?
I've heard some people say they're afraid it's going to weaken their immune system if they get a flu shot, and then they, you know, become worse. They somehow become weaker or more susceptible to
it. It definitely would not weaken their system. It should strengthen it, their immune system. I have heard people say that, and I don't think we'll ever convince them that it didn't, but it really, a killed virus will not do that. Your arm may be sore. If you do get sick, it's probably because you were exposed before you got the shot to someone.
And have we had, your agency, Bailey, does indeed track cases of certain illnesses, and the flu influenza is one of those. Is that true?
Yes.
Can you tell us about either current numbers or last year's numbers, historical numbers that health department has had on flu?
Sure. We have no confirmed cases of the flu yet for this year, but last year we had 179 confirmed cases, and we gave 2,200 flu shots throughout the year last year.
Did you feel as a health department that last year was with 179 confirmed flu cases reported? Did you feel that that was a heavy flu year, or that we sort of dodged a bullet?
It was a lighter year, and also just because we had that many confirmed cases, there are other cases out there that were occurring, but they didn't go and get tested and were not confirmed. So those are people who actually had a swab or had a test that was sent to our State Department of Public Health, and it was confirmed that it is the flu.
Okay, so that would be sent to the State Department for testing or just reported to the State Department of Health?
Just reported.
Okay, so is there a law that any doctor in Kentucky, or say Lexington, any doctor in Lexington who gets a positive flu swab must report those numbers? Is that part of the medical practice, or do they just voluntarily report?
There are some doctors around town that volunteer to be a reporting facility.
I see.
So not this is not a disease that is required to be reported. It's
right,
not a law.
Right. There are some much more serious diseases
that are required.
Every single case must be reported. Okay.
Correct.
Well, so what do you guys do to have people be aware of the flu procedures, and also what in the world do we eat when we have the flu? You know, what is it? Starve a fever, feed the flu, Jello
cold,
shots. What does the RN, the supervising RN, say? You know, we all have our concepts of what I eat is going to make me better, which is a little bit true, but not, you know, not the whole thing. What is the recommendation, and why?
It depends on your symptoms. You know, if you have a gastrointestinal, if you're having those symptoms along with the flu, then you're going to want to drink or eat clear liquids only. It depends on what you can tolerate. You know, I always hear toast and clear liquids if you've got a GI upset. But as far as there are no recommendations, it's just mostly what you feel like eating. But most of the time when you're that sick, you're not going to feel like eating much.
Right. So orange juice is no longer going to help. Once you have it, like, I'll just drink a quart of orange juice.
Or maybe tea.
Okay.
Tea,
so
clear something like, you know, Sprite or ginger ale. Sometimes those carbonated beverages will tend to help settle an upset stomach.
And what about when people are, like me, my workplace is a mass workplace. I work at the University of Kentucky with the students. Do you recommend the hand sanitizer thing, or do you think that actually creates a lack of immunity when people do all the hand sanitizer?
I think if you're not in a place where there's soap and water, I think the hand sanitizer does help.
Okay.
If you don't overuse it, you know, some people, you know, I've heard some reports that people are using it so much that it's killing off your ability to fight those germs that it would be on your hands. But I don't know that there's any evidence-based data that would support that.
Well, we have hand sanitizer at our computer lab, and we ask the students to use it before they use
everybody's touching the keyboards.
Sure. And so what if you're living in, say, for example, a residence hall or a group home or some sort of a halfway house or facility? How do you want to protect yourself as just a person who wants to stay healthy? First, the flu shot recommended.
Yes.
And then to avoid contagion, maybe while the 2 weeks is going on and you're getting immune through the immunization, how do you behave in a group situation like that?
Well, cover your cough, continue to wash your hands. If you know somebody's sick, stay away from them. You know, don't go down to the roommate whose other roommate is in bed with a fever. You know, stay out of that room because the ventilation systems, things can circulate within a residential facility. Those would be my recommendations.
Well, Bailey, we are here at WLXL LPFM, Lexington. My name is Kaki Urch, and I'm with my colleague Ben Wolf. We're interviewing today three different sets of people. Right now, we're with our guests from the health department, and they're talking about the flu. I've got Bailey Preston here. She's a communications generalist with the department. Bailey, what are, in general, the things that people need to know about the health department, like beyond the flu? What does the health department do and provide for the people of Lexington at its various places?
Well, we have a variety of services. We have our public health clinic, which has family planning, STD testing, and some other services. Then we also do some education with diabetes and other things like that. But I did want to say that we do have flu shots in our clinic regularly.
Okay.
So that's going to be available Monday through Thursday from 9 to 3 p.m. So if you're unable to make the free flu shot clinic, then you can come to our public health clinic on 650 Newtown Pike, and it's $30 for the flu shot. But some, you know, insurances and Medicare and Medicaid might pay for that too.
Right, and then the one on October 22, 4 to 7, Thursday night, 1 week from today, is free of charge to the public from your nonprofit public organization. So what's the big assessment of Lexington's health, Bailey? Are we still not a very healthy city? And what are you guys doing to work on it? Remember they said we were the fattest city? No?
Lois might be able to answer that.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. Of course, across the nation and in Kentucky especially, we have a lot of health indicators that are not healthy. We have obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and it may be because of our diets. We have something called the CHA, the Community Health Assessment, and it's not just the health department, but many other agencies in town came together several years ago and developed our CHIP. We have our CHA and our CHIP. Our CHIP is Community Health Improvement Partnership. And so that group, which included businesses, hospitals, schools, churches, just and the health department, got together and picked three things to focus on to improve the health of our community. One was the obesity problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a subcommittee for each of these things. The subcommittee for obesity has sponsored such programs as Walk with the Doc, the Second Sunday.
They just had a Second Sunday where they closed down pieces of the city and we can
get out and
run, walk, bike, roller skate. They did this second Sunday. One time they did it at the airport, didn't they?
Mm-hmm, they did.
They closed down one of the runways and you were able to go and do your exercise on the airport runway.
And we have some wonderful parks and walking trails that help encourage people to get out and exercise.
Which one of those do you think would be on the north side, east end, or near Georgetown Street, near our neighborhood?
We have the
Legacy Trail.
The Legacy Trail. It starts at the north side Y, and it goes all the way out to the horse park if you want to ride your bike, which I think is about 8 miles.
Or maybe 13. I'm not sure. Maybe 8, 13.
I think it's 8 miles.
8 miles. And you don't have to go the whole way, right?
No,
I mean, you can walk 1 mile out and 1 mile back, then you've done 2 miles in a nice, scenic area. So even if you're just starting exercising, you know, because I guess the thing with obesity is to get started.
Sure.
Is one of the things that perhaps your committee is interested in. Okay, so one was obesity.
One was obesity.
And what's the other
one? The second one is unemployment. You think, well, what does unemployment have to do with public health? Well, if you're not employed, think about it. You don't have health insurance. You don't have access to health care. So we want to see more people employed. And we have another committee who is working on that. The third one is safe neighborhoods. And we think about, you know, what does a safe neighborhood have to do with health? If you don't have a safe neighborhood, you can't get out and walk and exercise. Your children cannot go to the park. There may be needles in the park. There may be shootings. There may be drug dealings. So we want to create safer neighborhoods. And we have the police department, urban county government, and again, many churches and other organizations who are sponsoring and serving on these committees.
And we recently had the celebration of Duncan Park and people celebrating the effort to make Duncan Park down on North Limestone Street right near our station here at the STEAM Academy. We're at North Lime and 6th Street. Duncan Park is one block up, 5th Street and North Lime. And it just celebrated a centennial, perhaps? 50 years, 100 years, and it was a great celebration. And there's been a community group of churchgoers and other community activists who have been really working, doing the violence walks, about getting all of our city parks and city streets to be a little safer so that people can get out and enjoy, you know, the neighborhood. So have we ever had a terrible, terrible, terrible flu year here, Bailey, in Lexington? Just an awful...
I'm not sure. Maybe Lois knows.
We have had some years where we've had more cases than others. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there was the year when we had the H1N1, and there was a shortage of vaccine some years. And, you know, our health department got together with other physicians and hospitals, and we shared vaccine among us and tried to target those with chronic diseases and those that were most vulnerable. So there have been years like that in the past. Sometimes there are earlier cases, earlier flu seasons than others when the cases start showing up. But you never know from year to year. And each year the vaccine components change so that hopefully each year they address the viruses that are out there and that they can build up immunities to those strains.
Yeah, that was something else I've heard a few people say over the years is just like, well, the flu vaccine doesn't protect against every kind of flu that's out there, and it always seems to be the flu that it doesn't protect that spreads around. What can we do to sort of bring those people in to get a flu shot?
Well, they're not completely wrong. The CDC every year studies what's going on in the other parts of the world, and that's when they decide which strains to focus on, and they focus on those strains that are most prevalent. And it used to always be a trivalent or a three-strain virus, but two or three years ago, they started a quadrivalent version. And I think there are both versions out there right now. The health department does have the quadrivalent, which protects against four strains of the virus.
Yeah, I do remember as a child, they were always talking about the Hong Kong flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get the Hong Kong flu. Just identifying it with, you know, a place where it had maybe risen up and so forth. Do we have any flus in this quadrivalent vaccine and this four-part vaccine that are particularly remarkable that have some kind of a strange symptomology?
Well, I can't name the four strains right now, but I know H1N1 is one of them, and H3N2 is another one that was prevalent in the past few years.
And so if they go to your clinic on October 22nd, they will be protected against H1N1 and this other one and two more. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
That's fascinating to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what does HNN stand for, to be honest?
I'd have to get our epidemiologist to tell you that.
isn't it, maybe it's the DNA locations.
The H has a long name and the N has a long
name,
but
I
can't
tell
you.
It's a very, very technical way of saying strong flu.
Well, right. We were very frightened of H1N1. I had to put things on my syllabi that said, do not come if you have H1N1. Do not come to the classroom. And the university asked us to do that as a professor. So then it's interesting because I was wondering, do I take that off the syllabus now? Are we even caring about H1N1? And I guess we are because we're vaccinating against it in our quadrivalent or our four virus, not four part flu shot. What if people are afraid to get an immunization, you know, a needle stain?
Just a shot.
Yeah. What do you have any as a healthcare provider? Do you have any tips on how to get over that or how to cope with a fear?
Mm-hmm. There is another alternative called the nasal mist, or the flu mist is what it's called. And that is something where you don't have to get stuck with a needle, but it is limited. You cannot have any chronic diseases, or you can't be immunocompromised because it's a live strain of the virus. It does include quadrivalent, four strains, and it goes from age 2 up to 49.
Okay, so that one
and pregnant women cannot get that one.
Is more limited. Okay,
yes.
So if you do the nasal one, that probably won't be at our clinic.
No,
you would have to go to your healthcare provider.
Correct.
And you know, ask for the nasal flu thing. You need to be over 2 years old, only up to 49 years of age. And you cannot be a pregnant woman because it is live virus.
Or have a chronic illness of any kind.
Right, HIV or cancer, these sorts of things, diabetes, where you're working with a lesser immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But so is there anything like for people who maybe want to brave the immunization, like close your eyes, take a deep breath in, anything? I'm fine with needles. You know, so I don't look at them, but you know, is there anything to help a person?
Well, a lot of people deal with it different ways. Take a deep breath, try to relax. As a nurse giving a shot, I always tell them to relax their arm because when they're tense, it seems like the muscle gets more sore the next day. But try to relax your arm, and it's difficult for people who fear shots to relax their arm. But just shake it a little bit, hold it up against your side, but don't tighten up. That might help some. And I also tell people to go out and rake their leaves afterwards, because if you work those muscles, you'll work the soreness out, and it's usually leaf raking time of the year to get a
really?
Shot.
Really?
That's very
or
good exercise
advice.
Or, you know,
Thank
use your
you.
Muscles.
Wow, that's great. So we're here at WLXL LPFM, your new community radio station located on the north side down on 6th and North Lyme at the STEAM Academy, where we're very happy to be. My name's Kaki Urch, and I am here as your interview radio host with my co-host, Ben Wolf. Ben!
Hi, Kaki.
Hi. And we've got two more great guest segments coming up. We've been here with these wonderful women from the health department who are spreading the good news about the new flu clinic Thursday next, so October 22nd, at the Consolidated Baptist Church on Russell Cave Road. It's right next to the Northside Library. And it's going to be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. They have 1,700 flu shots to give to folks. There's a form online you can fill out to reduce your wait time, or you can fill out a paper form when you get there. You don't have to prove Lexington residency or citizenship or anything. You just go, and they're interested in helping keep you healthy. So I want to thank you, Bailey Preston and Lois Davis. Oh, you have one more thing. Yes.
If you can't make it to the free flu event, and if you can't make it to the health department, there are many, many sites in town that offer flu shots, and I want to encourage everybody to get one, no matter where you get it.
Yes, you'll walk into some stores that carry healthcare products and pharmacies and large retailers these days, and there are flu shot signs. And so you've just been listening to supervising RN Lois Davis from the Lexington and Fayette County Urban. Health Department, which has the mission of keeping our city and county safe and healthy on a whole bunch of different levels that we've learned about today. I want to thank you, ladies, and I also want to ask you to come back frequently.
Okay.
You know, because it's not just the flu, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
We do so many things in the community. I say we're the best kept secret.
Okay. Well, let's keep it. Let's make it not so secret anymore. Everybody's listening. If you heard this broadcast, please, you know, feel free to tell people about this flu event. And I guess we're going to get into some Willie Nelson, because that's what I feel like listening to.
2-1-2-3-4-1. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. If you've got the money, let's start out tonight. We'll have fun, oh boy, and we'll do it right. Bring along your Cadillac, leave my old wreck behind. If you've got money, honey, I've got the time.
WLXL is supported by the Lexington Fayette County Health Department. Did you know you can beat the rush for back-to-school vaccinations? If you have a child entering kindergarten or sixth grade, call our public health clinic at 859-288-2483 to learn more and make an appointment. Keep your child safe this school year.
Indeed, we are here with Interview Radio. My name's Kaki Ertz. I'm one of your hosts. My other host is Ben Wolf. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Kaki. We now each have a mic.
I know. We don't have to share anymore. But we're happy to share, and we're happy to be here on your new community radio station, Interview Radio, and we are welcoming a guest from the Lexington Police. It is Officer Baj Baj Towery, and he is here to talk about Halloween safety. Hi, Officer. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good morning. We appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk safety today.
Well, good. How many days? I've got my candy. I've purchased my candy.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah. When is Halloween exactly?
That's a good question, because that question has come up. So Lexington is going to have trick-or-treating on October 31st, which is that Saturday. And I know there's been a lot of questions about that. There are a lot of activities going on in the city that day with the Breeders' Cup, the home UK-Tennessee game. So there are a lot of things going on. But we are going to have trick-or-treating that night from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock that night.
And those are the hours. Those
are
the okay
hours. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the 31st.
So they're the hours to have treats ready.
That's correct.
And have your lights on.
Have your front porch light on to let folks know that you're open for business. And there are a couple of other alternatives, and I guess before we get into some of the safety, we'll mention those.
Sure.
Fayette Mall is going to be open for trick-or-treaters on Thursday, October 29th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for anybody that perhaps they're going to the game that night, perhaps they have other things going on, or they just don't feel comfortable having the children out on the 31st. So that is one option.
So to participate in that, people would have their kids in their costumes.
Yes.
And go to the Fayette Mall, and then what happens?
Go to Fayette Mall and walk around to the various store fronts, and they're going to have candy and so forth available. And this was done actually a few years ago when we had some weather concerns, and we had to move trick-or-treating a few days because of a weather front that was coming in that we were very concerned about.
And how did that go?
It went really well, really well. It was good turnout, and we're hoping for the same this year for anybody that doesn't want to go out on the 31st. The other option, and there is another option.
And give me that Fayette Mall indoor 29th
time
again.
It's on October 29th, and it will also be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
That's easy to remember. That's good. So
yes, same time.
Consistent time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The other option is if a neighborhood association chooses collectively to have a different night other than the 31st, they can do that as long as it is organized and done collectively with either their HOA or their neighborhood association.
Do they have to notify Lexington police?
They don't have to, but it would be a good idea because we might want to have some extra patrols in the area for them, and we certainly would assist them any way we could with that.
Have any of Lexington's HOAs or neighborhood associations made this decision and notified you all yet?
I am not aware of any at this point.
Okay.
So
you were going to say something, Ben?
Oh, I was just remembering when I was when I was a kid, we did the rep arena for the civic center for the first time. And oh my, that was a mess every year. I remember just like wall to wall kids. You've done the Fayette Mall thing before with the weather?
It has been done at least once before.
How packed is that? And do people park?
It's busy. A lot of activity, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's probably good for the mall as well and bringing a lot of folks out.
So. Oh, definitely.
Well, and a lot of costumes. I mean, I think the joy in Halloween for the children is really to be able to imagine themselves as a character and to see people's reaction to their costume and get into the details of it, you know. Oh, my little hat or my little headdress, you know. And
I think
makeup.
That may just be girls' khaki. I was just about candy. I think the girls were about pretending. The boys were just about stuffing our fat faces with chocolate and stuff. I always got like.
Okay, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, right? All right, Khaki Urch here on WLXL LPFM, Lexington, your community radio station. We are talking Halloween fun, safety, and gender imbalance with Ben Wolf, my co-host, and Lexington Police Officer Baj Towery. And we are so happy that he is here to give us the lowdown on Halloween. First of all, we've learned already October 31st, the traditional Halloween, 6 to 8 p.m. That is the trick-or-treating that Lexington will honor. Unless your HOA, Homeowners Association, right? Your Homeowners Association or your Neighborhood Association makes a unified decision to have it in your neighborhood elsewise. You could notify the police so they can help. Not available to trick-or-treat on October 31st because you have football tickets or you're playing in the football game, for example. Then you need to think about taking your kids to Fayette Mall. The 29th from 6 to 8, they'll be inside trick-or-treating, which has been done before. So what else do we need to know, Officer Towery, about Halloween? Oh, and what about this other thing? Do we still do this? Is there such a thing as Mischief Night? Do they call it that?
Well, I'm not sure. We don't really want to publicize that.
Okay. All right.
There, and I was talking with a group earlier about Halloween, and you were talking about the importance of the costumes, and certainly we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but... a lot of folks ask about the age, too.
Oh, so, right, yeah, because, I guess, those kids who are, like, just about to be legal to drink try and get your Kit Kats, right?
And we do have, we have adults that like to go out for with sure. their children and dress up. But I guess at the age, and you mentioned mischief, so perhaps at the age that it does turn from the candy issue to the mischief issue is the time that we probably want to stop.
If you can shave, okay, if you can shave male or female.
That's possible.
Hilarious. That was hilarious. You're going to ambush me on Halloween gender issues. I think I can come back. Yes, so here we are talking about Halloween safety and things. And so Officer Towery, for parents and for people who are dressing up, what's a safe costume and what's a not safe costume?
Well, there's several recommendations that we make. And you mentioned the girls' dresses and so forth earlier. And that's something that we want to think about as far as the length and making sure that it's not a trip hazard, making sure that it's not even a fire hazard with lit pumpkins and so forth.
How do we make sure a tutu is not a fire hazard?
I believe that one would be okay. I think a tutu would be okay.
Because it'd be high up from the pumpkin.
Right. Anything, I would think anything that's dragging the ground obviously would be a concern. And again, that could be a dress, it could be a cape, it could be anything along those lines as far as a Halloween costume. And not only the length, but making sure that it is visible. There are a lot of costuming that is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you may even want to use some type of reflective tape or something along
those
lines.
Yeah, that was my next question, because it's getting darker earlier and earlier. At 6 o'clock it will be as the sun's setting, really. So
that's something you want to look at. Also, the difference in masks and maybe painting the face or using makeup, because a mask is a little more dangerous as far as the eye holes. If you are using a mask, make sure that the holes are cut out where you do have good vision. Makeup would probably be better, but, and we're going to talk about road safety in a moment, but if you do wear a mask, make sure that you take the mask off whenever you cross the road as opposed to leaving it on.
Your peripheral vision right. from the sides of right. your eyes is kind of blinkered right. in there with a mask, yeah.
So, but the main thing is just being visible, I think, more than anything else.
And what about should parents bring a flashlight of some sort?
Definitely. We encourage that along with the reflective costuming or visible costuming. A flashlight is certainly a good idea.
Okay. Well, this is WLXL, Lexington Local is what we are, LPFM, your new community radio station. My name is Kaki Urch. I'm your host here on Interview Radio with my co-host Ben Wolf and welcoming Lexington Police Officer Baj Towery to talk about Halloween safety. So you're talking road safety. And I guess because I'm also a very concerned driver, for both for drivers and for trick-or-treaters, what are the recommendations?
Well, first of all, with the trick-or-treaters, we want to make sure that the children know, and it's very important that parents communicate this information to the children prior to stay on the sidewalks, try to not run, to walk, to make sure that when you do cross the street, you cross at corners or designated crosswalks. That's very important.
With a parent.
Or
an adult.
And make sure that you never walk in between parked cars. That certainly is a concern as well. And we talk about, you mentioned with the parents, that's important that perhaps there is a parent there. And if there is not, making sure that there is safety in numbers. So making sure that you have several people that are together is very, very much a safety idea.
Sure, sure. And we talked about this. Say I am going to the Tennessee game.
Uh-huh.
and say I'm getting, and what is my other thing? I have to get to the Breeders' Cup, and I have to get to my cocktail party before my cocktail party. what am I looking for as a driver on Halloween night, and what do you recommend as a police department?
Well, I think all drivers that day should be aware of the fact that there is a whole lot going on in Lexington. And so not only are there going to be there should be traffic awareness, but there should also be pedestrian awareness because of Halloween. So I think drivers should be very aware of the fact that any neighborhood could have children that may perhaps don't know to cross at the corners, perhaps sure. are walking between parked cars, perhaps are running as opposed to walking, and be very aware that those are out there. And it's your responsibility as a driver to be aware of that and drive as safely as possible.
Right. And I'm not sure if this is one of your recommendations, but, you know, I always get ribbed for it from my friends. But, you know, when I'm in a neighborhood where I know there are children, even when it's not Halloween, I just cut my speed.
Absolutely.
And I know that often my passengers are like, lady, what are you doing? But especially here on the north side, in the East End, Georgetown Street, where we have walking neighborhoods, mm-hmm. where we do have people on sidewalks, kids on sidewalks, whenever I am driving through here, I'm always lowering my speed. Is that a safety tactic, or am I just making it up?
It is, and I will tell you, as a crime prevention officer, I have the opportunity to go out and speak with neighborhood associations every week across Lexington. And I'm not sure I have ever been to a neighborhood association meeting that speeding was not a concern. And that doesn't even have anything to do with Halloween. That's in general. So when we talk about residential areas, speeding is a concern 365 days of the year, but probably even more so on Halloween. And as drivers, yes, we should watch our speed that night and be aware that anything could happen in front of us.
And the reason for that is when you apply a brake and you've got less speed behind
braking
you,
distance,
it's
yes.
easy. It's easier for you to perhaps
right.
stop in time and not hit a child that may be in the road. So, Officer Towery, what about, you know, here in Lexington, we are blessed with this event called the Thriller Parade.
Uh-huh.
And what, you know...
When is that?
Well, I think... the officer can tell us, and
oh,
how
to,
you don't know. Okay. Well, I do. It's October 26th. It's going to kick off our kind of celebration of the Breeders' Cup weekend, which is really marking us as a special community. The Thriller Parade, which is founded by the Mecca Dance Troupe and Teresa Toom and Mel Smith. You know, where thousands of people do Michael Jackson's Thriller down the street. They started working on it 2 weeks ago at the least, if not a month ago. Then they do presentations down at the courthouse. They do some dance presentations and they'll go all the way down Main Street. And thousands of people now come to that. So what's your recommendation to safely watch a parade of that sort?
Well, you want to plan ahead and keep in mind that parking is a concern, and you want to make sure you get there in plenty of time to be able to make the event without any issues. But the police department will be there, as always, and we will.
And will
ensure,
you be zombies, or will you just be police?
Most of us will not be.
I don't think.
It depends on how many hours they've worked that day.
All right. Okay. Officer Towery wins the program, wins the day. He's won the internet. Right. That's very funny.
So we will. We certainly will have a presence at that for both traffic control and a security presence as well.
Sure. Right. Because it's a crowd, and you know people love it, and they push forward, and there are zombies. You never know.
That's true.
You never know.
That's true.
What do the police recommend in case of a zombie attack?
Well, I'm not sure we have discussed that. I did see Homeland Security put out a training bulleten on it a few years ago.
They did. Are you guys aware that one of my colleagues at the University of Kentucky, my day job is a professor at University of Kentucky, in the College of Communication and Information, has a class that she has taught for years about... She's a risk awareness communication person, and they do an entire semester of how to respond to the zombie apocalypse.
Oh.
Truly. Maybe you could audit.
that's something that maybe we can look at.
Yeah, Dr. Sherry Vale, she's pioneered it. Yeah.
I know when I was in my early 20s, we used to do like the Halloween party run across campus, so I imagine that's going to be going on probably the next two weekends with, like, the, not just kids, but something far worse, young adults
who
can drink for the first time now walking around from
party
to party.
And UK police will handle most of that type of activity. So, and then as needed, we would be involved.
Okay,
so this puts me in mind of the jail. I mean, so when you get arrested on Halloween, if you're that unfortunate, say you were violating one of our, I don't know, alcohol laws, then you're dressed, right?
You know,
you're dressed as slutty firemen, and there you are, arrested and in the jail. The jail must be
a picture of a lifetime.
The jail must be a hilarious place on Halloween.
It's a mugshot, definitely.
It has potential, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. So, Officer Towery, what else do Lexingtonians need to know about Halloween, Halloween safety from the Lexington Police Department?
Well, I think we covered most of the topics. One thing is that, I mentioned this earlier about parents talking to their children and communicating with them the importance of some of these safety rules that we talked about, but also communicating with them where they go and where they don't go. Mm-hmm. Making sure that they do have a set time to be home, making sure that they know the protocol as far as going to houses only where the front porch light is on. Also knowing that you never, ever go into the house. Unless it's someone that the parent approves
like
of.
Like grandma's house.
So,
we're going to grandma's house to show her our costume.
You always stay on the front porch. And again, that whole safety of numbers comes into play with that as well. And then we always get a lot of questions about candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So we want to make sure that, and it's tough because you were talking about earlier about the importance of that when you were young. And talking to them about never opening it, never eating it until they get home.
Right.
And just let the parents go through it, making sure that the packages are sealed and there's no tampering and no
never
concerns.
Eat the open package of candy.
Okay, so if there's an open, and you can tell, if you tell your children in advance that anything open is going away, then we might miss the fit that might be pitched when you throw the particular licorice away and they see that one candy going.
Right.
Just to kind of channel my inner 2-year-old.
And I think folks that are even handing out candy, you know, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, times have changed. When I was young, there were a lot of folks that had homemade treats for trick-or-treaters. And that's probably just not a good idea anymore just because they just don't know.
Something commercially distributed, and not apples. Apples? Maybe? I don't know.
The health component of it is good as far as being a fruit, but the exposure concern of it might be a little bit.
So something that's securely wrapped that is clearly commercially produced and not cooked up in our cauldron at home.
Correct.
Like I would.
Good use of terms.
I know. I've got to get back at you after that zombie crack.
And are there any costumes that you just kind of recommend not that kids not wear or even young adults not wear? I'm kind of concerned about fake guns or fake weaponry or stuff like that.
Well, law requires, federal law requires that a toy gun have an orange plastic tip. So if someone does have some type of toy weaponry on that night, A, it may not be a good idea to have it. But B, if you do have it, making sure that you never tear those off, that you always leave those on there. So,
fascinating. Yeah. The orange plastic tip required by federal law to be on toy guns, leave it on there. It's not just some piece of packaging where you take your matte black gun apart.
Right.
And also, I guess, as a former nanny babysitter, you know, one thing I think you can do is have the child bend and walk and fold over and see if they have a range of motion. So I'm thinking if you're going to be the Tin Woodman from
Wizard of Oz,
and you fall over.
Right.
I just, see the little legs kicking.
There could be some limitations.
Right. So, test the mobility of the outfit maybe well before.
Right.
Because if you have to change to Plan B, again, channeling my inner 3-year-old, what a fit I would throw.
Right, absolutely.
Right?
So some of the basics, reflectors, keep a flashlight, go in groups.
Visibility, go in groups, make sure we actually have pedestrian safety and we have motorist safety in mind that night, both.
And even if you're not trick-or-treating and you're just driving around town,
you need to be aware that there are trick-or-treaters out there. Absolutely.
What sort of calls do the police answer on Halloween night?
Well, there's a variety of calls. Speeders would be one of the more prominent calls that we would receive.
Do you give them tickets? And is it like speeding over? Is it like speeding over on a Halloween night?
We have to witness the speeding. That would be one call. And then obviously as the night progresses, the mischief calls that you spoke of earlier could be.
No mischief here in Lexington. Not allowed. Not in the circle.
You and I
inside.
Never did
no, not me, and not the boys I had crushes on either.
Nothing egg based or.
No, not me. Based. Not the boys I had crushes on. Nothing. And also, there's in Lexington nothing in the circle, in the new circle or in the newer circle of Manowar. No, we have no mischief planned.
Very good.
Okay, well, listen, officer, we want to. As a station that is really committed to public safety, one of the reasons why we have two stations here in Lexington is we are classified as a public safety station. We're very interested in public safety, public health, and public information about that. So I'm hoping that we can ask you back several times, and you can come in and try to beat that zombie crack.
Absolutely. Lexington Police Department appreciates Lexington Community Radio inviting us to come out.
Oh, certainly.
And this is a great venue for us to be able to disseminate good information as far as public safety and things that, that can really keep Lexington the safe community that it is.
Right. I mean, here at WLXL LPFM Lexington, we are hoping to be able to ask public safety officials the questions that you would have, the questions you might feel afraid to ask because they're silly, because they're not. These public officials are right here with all this information for us to keep us safe. And so our next guest is going to talk about very, very important public health insurance. The assistant director of Connect is on her way to the studio.